Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Sparky, so what do you think of the Bledsoe acquisition so far?
I think you have to be impressed, considering what you heard from Marcus Johnson on Fox Sports Wisconsin last night. Now you really have to be impressed. Marcus Johnson said last night that Eric Bledsoe is at like 60-65% with a bad knee right now. Hasn't practiced since he's been in a Bucs uniform because of that knee. So if that's 60-65% Bledsoe, imagine what he'll look like if he gets healthy at some point this year. Now, whether or not he will, I don't know. But, I mean, at 65%, he looks pretty good. Now, that could be a reason for that jumper not working or whatever. But, you know, last night he hit two big shots in the fourth, about two and a half minutes left. He hit a big three. And then with about 40 or 50 seconds left, he had a 15-foot pull-up jumper. And Marcus Johnson had a great line. He said, it's not how many you hit, it's when you hit them. Because at that point, you know, he'd only hit 3 of 11 or something like that at that point in the game. But that was a huge shot. That put him up 95-93, and that was it. The Bucks ended up obviously winning that game 99-95. So Bledsoe was huge for them last night. And the biggest thing there is not only does he help in the transition, since he's come on, their defense has really improved across the board. And that's not just Eric Bledsoe, that's the team. So I don't want to take away from all the other players on the team. But the other thing that's happened is Malcolm Brogdon has responded going to the bench. He's played really well and is scoring the basketball. Like, you need a sixth man to score the basketball, and you really need him to score because you're without Teletovich. He's been out with a knee injury now for several games, and he was the only scorer you had off the bench until Brogdon showed up. So still and yet, you have only one guy off the bench scoring the basketball, waiting for Teletovich to come back.
The interesting thing I find, you brought up the defensive aspect of this. Drummond with only 13 last night. I thought now Henson with 10 points. He ended up with 10 boards last night. I thought he did a fine job there. But give me your thoughts on Henson since he's been thrust into the spotlight.
Well, I'll tell you what happened last night on our postgame show in Milwaukee on The Fan. Now, you know this. I mean, I know you do it. For those that have never seen Bill do his show in the radio station before, he sits on a chair and does the radio show. And most of the hosts, Gary Ellerson, when he does the show with you, he'll sit on a chair and does the show. As do I sit on a chair when I do a show. And you're like, well, what's the big deal, Sparky? Who cares? Well, last night, I at the beginning of our postgame show, I stood up and I gave a standing ovation to John Henson to start the show. I mean, that man has played so much better since they traded Greg Monroe. And last night was another prime example of that. He played physical. He played tough. He blocked shots. He wasn't getting pushed around. He got held off at one point late in the game by Drummond with like one arm. Other than that, he played really physical and he played really well in that game. And he played well against Gasol. Those are the games where Henson's really going to be tested. When he goes up against those big physical centers that got weight on him, that got size on him, that are just as athletic as him, how does he hold his own in those matchups? I thought he did really well last night. I thought Thon Maker with 4 blocks did well too. And I've been saying it. John Henson right now, I think this is a career-making deal for him now the rest of the year. Can you prove that you belong as a starting center in the NBA? It's not only the Bucks, but everybody else in the NBA. Because, yeah, when this deal gets done, then it's going to be decided how much more money you're going to make after this deal. Because otherwise, if it doesn't work, and you give him a stretch, and then you go back to being John Henson again, and you're not consistent, you might get traded. Or you might go to the bench, and that might be the end of you. There's a reason why every coaching staff falls in love with John Henson early, and by the end of their tenure, he's on the bench and not playing consistent minutes. There is a reason for that, and that's his consistency. And now he has to prove that he can play at a high level. And if he can, he can be a difference maker for this Bucks team. If he can play like he has the last 4 or 5 games consistently the rest of the year, this team should be in pretty good shape defensively.
Going back to the defensive side of the basketball, that's one of the things that Jason Kidd has tried to stress from early on. Is it just the fact that they get the pep in their step from Bledsoe that suddenly guys are, you know, cutting guys off of the baseline? They're actually collapsing around the basketball. They're working the hands a little bit more. They're bodying up. Or is this just something that all of a sudden they have just found a rhythm, do you think?
Well, we had John Horst, the Bucks general manager, on last night on a postgame show. He called in on his way home last night. And he talked about and mentioned they had two practices strictly about defense going into that San Antonio game after they acquired Eric Bledsoe after they made the Greg Monroe trade. And it was focused solely on defense. And since then, they've held every opponent except Memphis under 100 points. The key for me about this defense is, and always has been, does the scheme work? Yes, it works. But, I always say it's, hair on fire type defense. And I used to tell that to Greg Monroe, and he just laughed at me. But that's really what it is. You have to expend so much effort. Now, if you play it well, you can be a swarming defense, create a lot of turnovers, block shots, and be a great defense. But can you do that for as many games as you need to do it for an entire season, 82 games, and then still, have the energy and the effort to play on the offensive side of the floor night in and night out, and then still have all of that left for the playoffs and still be able to play at that level in the playoffs? And right now they're playing – now, again, they haven't done it for four quarters every game. Memphis – wasn't for four quarters. They didn't play with that intensity. But last night, they played with good intensity, I would say, for pretty much four quarters. Galloway came in and hit a couple of threes to start the fourth quarter last night to get them going and get them back in that game last night. But for the most part, they've played really well. And a lot of it is just intensity. You can't use the excuse that we use for the Packers all the time. Oh, a miscommunication there. Oh, a miscommunication there. That doesn't work for this team. It's the same team as last year. They've been in this defense now for a couple of years. The only guys that haven't been are Bledsoe, who just got here, and then the rookies who don't play. So I don't want to hear, well, they didn't know where they were supposed to be, or they didn't rotate over when they were supposed to. At this point, you should know that defense like the back of your hand. So the only thing stopping this defense from working now is bringing that same level of effort and intensity on the defensive side of the ball each and every single game, and not having 3, 4, 5 letdown games in a row where you give up 115. That's what was happening prior to them getting Bledsoe, prior to those two practices going into that Spurs game. If they can play like this for the rest of the year, this is a 50-win team. There's no doubt about it, but this defense can't drop off.
I was just going to say, they can do that. I don't think they're going to have the fact that, look, Bledsoe is a shooter. He's not Ray Allen shooter, okay, but we're getting a shooter. Right. You got a guy that has taken the pressure off of Middleton, taken the pressure off of Brogdon. If they continue to play that way, it's great, but I agree with you. I think defensively they have to kind of keep at that level. And then the X factor in all of this, Spark, and I was talking to a few people last night, it's kind of like getting a free agent pickup. If you can get anything out of Jabari Parker when he comes back, it's like making a midseason trade, isn't it?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I'm with Bledsoe, again, his outside shot, a three-point shot, hasn't been the best in the whole wide world necessarily. But it doesn't have to be once you bring back Jabari Parker to go along with it, because then all of a sudden you've got Jabari that can hit the outside shot. You've got Chris Milton that can hit the outside shot. You've got Teletovic that can play out there as well. So now Bledsoe and Giannis both can be guys that can get to the rim and kick. And it's not only kicking to the outside, but it's that wraparound pass that Bledsoe will make to John Henson for the easy dunk. It'll be that pass with Giannis coming down the baseline. I mean, it's all those different things that Bledsoe adds to you that really helps. And then you can add another guy in Jabari Parker that, according to Gary Wolfel, he said there are some that feel he could play right now. But the Bucks are taking it very cautious, and they're going to try and wait this thing out till February to bring him back. Now, when he comes back, now if he gives you 15 to 18 points, and I think he's going to give you over 20 a night, and maybe I'm being overly optimistic, but if he gives you 15 to 18 points each night, this offense can go to a different level. If he can give you that type of production along with whatever else that you already have, plus, like you said, at the trade deadline, I would have to imagine the Bucks will make at least a move at the trade deadline to bring in probably another bench player to add to this team.
Good stuff, Sparky, and we will check you out again next week, pal, okay?
Sounds good.
Appreciate it, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. A lot of positivity regarding the Milwaukee Bucks, who get a nice win last night and knock off the Detroit Pistons down at the BC. That is Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of the Bucks postgame show, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.